May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So after our service this morning, we hold our annual general meeting. Now, those may not be words that set our hearts racing with excitement. There is a lot of business to work through, reports to be noted, budgets to scan, church offices to be filled, and so on. Most organizations need such meetings from time to time. But let's not underestimate this valuable opportunity for some stock-taking and reflection about how things stand with us as a church. It's a chance to look back and to look forward, to ask what is encouraging and what needs more attention. Underlying it all is the conviction that, like all churches, St. Ursula's ultimately exists because of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done, and his call to us to be his people and to give ourselves to his cause, his work, his mission in this world. So with the AGM and the opportunity it offers in mind, let me offer a few remarks on each of today's readings, rather more briefly than usual, because you're going to hear an awful lot of words later this morning. So a few reflections. In today's gospel, Jesus describes himself as a vine and his disciples, us, as branches stemming from the vine that he is. The image speaks of our collective life as a Christian community, a great number of branches stemming off from the central vine, bearing abundant fruit. It also speaks of our individual connection to Jesus Christ. Each branch must remain individually attached to the vine, or it will wither and die. Perhaps especially relevant today are Jesus' words, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We can bear rich fruit as individuals, as a community, a church, but to do so, we must abide in Jesus, the true vine. We must remain firmly connected to him. And then secondly, our reading from the first letter of John includes the famous phrase, "God is love." Simple but profound words, which we would also do well to take with us into the AGM. John unpacks these words for us, telling us that we do not get to define what love means. God defines love for us. So John writes, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." We see what love is in Jesus, and above all, in his sacrificial death. This love is for each of us, embracing us in our sin, our failure, our brokenness. But this love also lays hold of us, recruits us into its cause, draws us into God's way of loving. Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. So the truth that God is love is both good news for each of us and at the same time gives us marching orders. God's love that has embraced us also compels us to love one another and to reach out in love to our neighbor, nearby, or wherever it is across the world, to be motivated in our lives, in our work, in all that we seek to do by the love that has laid hold of us. This brings us thirdly to our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, St. Luke is the author of Acts, and in this book, he continues the story that he's told in his gospel about all that Jesus began to do in his earthly ministry. So, using John's language, injecting John's language into Luke's work, we could say that in Luke's volume one, his gospel, we see in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the truth that God is love beginning to emerge in this world. And then in Luke's volume two, the Acts of the Apostles, you could say we have God is love, the sequel. Acts starts after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it's all about the disciples of Jesus and those who come to believe in him through them, and how they, his followers, get caught up in the ongoing story of the love of God. Jesus is now no longer physically present, but the love of God that was revealed in Jesus is now, through the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, moving outwards in ever-expanding circles, touching more and more of the wider world as it proceeds. And our reading from Acts today is one of the many extraordinary stories in this book describing this outward moving momentum, this constant expansion of the Jesus movement. It's the story of Philip, a significant figure in the early church, and his encounter with a court official from far away Ethiopia. Two very different people brought together by God's Spirit. And there are many interesting details in this story, as some of us discovered in a Bible study we held yesterday. There's time now to make only a few points about two main characters, Philip and the Ethiopian. First, the Ethiopian and what he represents. He is already a man of serious faith, traveling a very long way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. And he's now reading the scriptures as he travels home to Ethiopia. But it's said several times that he is a eunuch. And in Jewish eyes, the significance of this is that it made him an outsider. A eunuch, according to biblical law, could not fully be a part of the worshiping community. So maybe he feels on the edges of things, unsure whether he really matters to God, whether he really has a place in God's people. He is a powerful, wealthy figure, but on the edges of things, unsure of his standing with God. That's the Ethiopian. And then there is Philip, who here represents radical availability and willingness to be caught up in the outward moving momentum of the God is love story. So Philip follows God's prompting to go to a most unpromising place, a road in the wilderness, a very unlikely place, you might think, for any useful Christian ministry to happen. But here, in the middle of nowhere, Philip meets this very significant figure, an influential official from a faraway land, who is reading aloud the Jewish scriptures and wondering what they mean. And Philip, inspired by the Spirit, has the nerve to run up to this powerful foreign politician with his chariot and retinue and ask him boldly, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian is humble and honest enough to say, "No, I don't." Openness, remarkable openness on both sides, sparks a breakthrough conversation. Because Philip knows the scriptures well and understands how they point to Jesus, he is able to speak persuasively to this foreigner about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. And the Ethiopian is so open in heart and mind that he asks Philip to baptize him there and then. And the Ethiopian then goes on his way rejoicing. He has found what he has been looking for. He has been gathered fully into God's people. Acts says nothing more about this Ethiopian, but very plausibly, Christian tradition holds that through him the gospel first came to Ethiopia. He too had the joy of being caught up in the Jesus story, the God is love story, and making his own contribution to its onward progress. So then, a few thoughts from today's scriptures to take into our AGM. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. To bear fruit, we must all stay connected to him. Without him, we can do nothing. And it's because of him and his sacrificial love that we know that God is love, a truth that frames our lives and compels us to love others, inspires us to love others as we have been loved by God. And just as in the early church described in Acts, so the church today is called to live in that God is love story and its constant outward moving momentum. If we are open to God's prompting, we will have surprising opportunities, like Philip did, to tell that story to those who are seeking God. We pray that they will come to share in our joy, and so the God is love story will go on. Amen.